dose of inspiration. I am your host, Ikwabi Essien, writer, filmmaker, and entrepreneur, creator of Crowdfund Your Dream. I am bringing you tons of creative inspiration, everything from film to music, writing, dance, fashion, culture, and the arts. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hello! So here we are for the fourth episode of my Creative IQ podcast. If you don't know who I am, hey, my name is Ikwa. I am a writer, a filmmaker, and a consultant who helps artists and entrepreneurs tell their stories, market themselves, and raise money. But I'm also just a creative, hence the creative IQ. Some of my friends and family members, yes, they do call me IQ. If you don't know me very well, I probably will not respond if you try to call me that. But that's why we call this the Creative IQ Podcast. It's been a minute. It was before Thanksgiving when I recorded my last podcast. And during that time, I flew to Seattle for my bestie Kia's wedding to Igbo, which was beautiful. You don't know this, but today is the 1 year anniversary of my Crowdfund Your Dream course and website redesign and relaunch, which means in 2020, I hired a wonderful web developer named Shirley T, who redesigned my website, helped me redesign my course, and relaunch myself to the world. So this day, this exact day last year, I was doing tons of lives on Instagram, Facebook, etc., trying to get the word out, get some new interest and eyeballs on my course. And it's been a really interesting year. My last podcast was actually about starting my work from anywhere business, and I'm sure I got into this story. So there have been some twists and turns this year. Hired a marketing agency earlier this year. It didn't quite work out. Took over Facebook ads myself. Spent a lot of money. iOS changes came through. Facebook ads stopped working. Still waiting on the return of all of the investment I put into my business, but I'm really looking forward to 2022. Because first of all, honey, I'm raising my prices. I've been in this new membership community called We Should All Be Millionaires, and I calculated all of my earnings and all of my efforts over the past few years with my business, which is actually, it started 3 years ago. I had a first version of the course and website before I did the redesign. And I'm putting way too much effort for all of y'all. So all my prices are going up in 2022. And I have some updates because I am, first of all, let me just break it down for those of you who don't know. So some of the new things that came about this year. So you know about my flagship course, Crowdfund Your Dream. It teaches you how to tell your story, market yourself, and raise money in 60 days. So essentially how to create a multi-channel fundraising campaign and market it to raise your funds. But this year, I also launched a campaign for my artist residency that I set up in March 2021. I set up the campaign in 5 days, raised $35,000, and I created a quick start crowdfunding intro course called Launch in 5 Days. Yes, because I launched in 5 days. And so I have a mini course, which is Launch in 5 Days, and then I have my flagship 60-day course, which is Crowdfund Your Dream. And then recently I also created something called Fundraising Insider, which is a new masterclass I'm offering because I realize that a lot of people have some money mindset junk that they need to clean up before they can even start the fundraiser. So it's called Fundraising Insider, From Zero to Money Hero, What You Need to Know to Run a Successful Fundraiser. So I think of my program in three parts now, which is definitely an evolution. So the first part, education, starts with that masterclass. Basically, a bird's eye view of what a fundraiser is and how do you run one successfully. Step two, practice, is launching your first campaign. So in Launch in 5 Days, we talk all about crowdfunding. And crowdfunding is one of the easiest ways for you to craft a story, package it up, share it with people, and raise money. So I use it as an example, and that's what I did for the campaign this year. And then the third part of my process, from education and practice, is mastery. And that's in my Crowdfund Your Dream course, where I'm teaching you how to launch a multi-channel fundraising campaign. So my very first campaign wasn't simply a crowdfunding campaign, right? I had the crowdfunding campaign, I had an equity investor, I had fiscal sponsorship to Fractured Atlas, and I had a letter writing campaign of friends and family. And I teach people that, especially if you're a person of color outside of the mainstream, you may need to launch a multi-channel campaign. Because yes, there are some structural biases in some of the digital crowdfunding platforms. So I help you sort of understand what that's all about and create a campaign that leans into your own story. So what's nice about Crowdfund Your Dream is it's not just about crowdfunding. It teaches you a variety of fundraising strategies, and then you craft a campaign that makes sense for you, your story, and your dream, the vision that you want to bring into the world. So that's my three-part program. And now I'm pivoting and creating a members-only community on Facebook because I realize people kind of need, they need inspiration, they need guidance, they need a little woo-woo, they need to exchange thoughts and ideas. And I felt like my mailing list was too one-sided and I wasn't able to really engage in dialogue in the way that I really wanted to. So I'm creating a members-only community. I'm not going to be maintaining my email list anymore. So if you're on it, you won't get emails from me anymore unless you decide that you want to purchase one of my courses before the end of the year, which will give you lifetime membership in the community. You could wait if you want. You'll just stop getting emails from me. And if you want to circle back later and join up, you can. At that point, I'll probably be charging by the month for the membership community. So I want to get you in on this now. So those are the changes. And then I also have some news, which is on Sunday, I'm teaching a brand new live virtual workshop called Launch and Grow Your Project or Business with Fundraising. It's really geared towards founders, right? Artists and founders, right? Who have projects and businesses that they're trying to raise capital for. So that'll be 2 to 3:30 Eastern time on Zoom. You register to attend it live or watch the replay. And it's kind of also an anniversary workshop celebration for my business. And so I would love for you to join me. I'm dressed up because I got up this morning, I put in my contacts, I put on makeup. Yes, the face is beat. I don't know if it's still all there because I've been in it for a minute. Put a nice dress on and some jewelry, as you can see. And I was on a podcast, a woman named Shaylana has a podcast called Winning Women. I met her in this membership community that I'm in, that's called We Should All Be Millionaires. And she wanted me to be on her podcast. I talked all about my story, raising 15K for my short film, raising 35K for my artist residency, and how I want to help people tell their stories, market themselves, and raise money. I'm on a mission to launch 100 dreams. Yours is definitely one of them. So I want you to join on in and be a part of this. Okay. So today is meant to be part two of my first part was launching my Work From Anywhere business. And today I wanted to share the platforms that I use to run my business. I'm going to keep it really brief. But before I get into that, I just wanted to reflect and honor the memory of writer and activist Bell Hooks, who passed away. I believe it was today. I found out today at least. And just share three of the books from my bookshelf that she wrote that mean a lot to me. The first is Bone Black, Memories of Girlhood. The next is called Communion, The Female Search for Love. Definitely wrote a lot in the margins there and have a lot of pages dog-eared. And then the last is Sisters of the Yam, Black Women in Self-Recovery. This is actually the first book of hers that I ever read. I found it on my sister's desk when I was 14, my big sister's desk, and I opened it up and I started reading, and I had no clue what she was talking about, obviously, because I was 14, right? And she was talking about stuff like learning critical affirmation, growing away from addiction, dreaming ourselves dark and deep about Black beauty, facing and feeling loss. She introduces this concept of sweet communion and living to love, touching the earth, walking in the spirit. And I felt like a lot of it, I didn't get anything she was talking about at 14, but when I spent a little more time living on this earth in a Black female body, I completely understood. And it's almost like I grew into understanding. And unfortunately, some of it was through really painful experiences, but I'm so grateful that I was exposed to this early on. And also, it mentions a woman, Lenita McLean, who was a Chicago journalist who took her own life at 32. And it was the first time I was exposed to the story of Lenita McLean. I actually started writing a play about Lenita, which has never seen the light of day, but, and hopefully one day it will. I'm just really grateful because Bell Hooks shaped a lot of how I think about writing, how I think about activism, which I think of a lot through my writing and the works that I create, how I think about love. And I'm sad that she's gone. I remember when she came to do a speech at Stanford, and she talked about how in a fit of rage she had burned all of her journals once upon a time. And it always stuck with me because she expressed so much regret around it. And I've always journaled since I was in sixth grade. And I vowed at that moment I would always keep all my journals. I would never destroy a single word that I wrote. And I have. I've kept everything I've ever written, all my book reports from grade school, all my journals. Even if it's I wrote something, scratched it out on a post-it note, I've kept it. And I got that from her. And so I'm really so grateful to be able to commune with her ideas. I wish I'd really gotten to know her. I did stand up and ask a question when she was at Stanford. I definitely stood up and asked her a question. At the moment, I can't exactly remember the question that I asked. I'm going to check my journals because maybe I have it written somewhere there. But I just wanted to give reverence to a great mind. May she rest in peace. 69 feels really, really young. And I know a lot of you, myself included, have lost people this year, especially throughout the pandemic. We also lost a member of our Stanford community in the past week. But we carry on. We remember them. We use their memories and grow from the experiences of having them in our lives. We memorialize them. And the ultimate tribute is to survive, right? Is to keep living and showing up every day. I try to remind myself of that. So, on to the actual subject of my podcast today. I'm going to just briefly talk through some of the platforms that I'm on that I use to run my business. You're probably familiar with a lot of them already. This is going to feel random and disjointed if you haven't listened to part one where I talk about starting my Work From Anywhere business. So I would go back to episode 3 of the Creative IQ podcast if you haven't listened to that about how I started my Work From Anywhere business. And then this will make a lot more sense talking about the platforms that I'm on. But in general, just to recap, from my first job, which is in global health communications, through applying for film school, going broke, and going on leave from film school, I started a range of consulting positions, typically in media, marketing, and communications, and then increasingly in fundraising as I started raising money for myself and then teaching other people how to do that. In general, I always built my own websites, and I just offered services on those sites, connected directly to people, connected them to a payment platform, and that's how I received money and eventually developed what seemed like a Work From Anywhere business, where I was just working as a consultant with clients. You know, sometimes I would essentially be on retainer month to month to month. But to set up that business, it's pretty, I feel like a consulting and or coaching business is a fairly easy thing to set up. Now, when you start moving to online courses, which I added in 2018, because as I said, it's the 1 year anniversary of my website redesign, but I actually started my business in 2018, the course business, it became a little more complicated. Then you need somewhere to host all your courses. So you want like a platform that can facilitate easy access for your students, for them to track their progress. You might be uploading videos and workbooks, etc. So it gets a little bit more complicated. You may even decide that you want to set up an affiliates program where if your students really dig your course and they want to help sell it for you, you set up a dedicated link to them that they can share with their friends and family. And every time their friends or family click on that link and purchase it, they get a little bit of cash. You're probably familiar with that because on Instagram, oftentimes influencers have tons of affiliate links, right? So they'll say, buy this face scrub, click the link in my bio. And that link is actually an affiliate link. So I'll just talk about the platforms and stuff that I use now for. So I have essentially a consulting and a course business. So I have a website for Crowdfund Your Dream, which is my consultancy and my course. So that's crowdfunddream.com. I have a personal website, equama.com, which essentially it's a hybrid. So it's a portfolio of my work as a writer, filmmaker, etc. And then there's a side of my site, which is all of the business consulting services. Like before I developed the course, I had it all housed on that one site. So that's equama.com. I have a website for my film company, EDT Films, edtfilms.com. Listen, this is a deep cut, but if you remember my alligator legs blog, any of you out there might remember my alligator legs blog. I have the domain alligatorlegs.com and I have a blog there. I have a few other domains floating around, so let's kind of get into this. This is going to be really brief. Primarily, I host my websites with, my web hosting is through Bluehost. That's where I register my domain and host the actual website, like where all of my content, the public folder, right, that people, all of my photos and everything goes into that you can actually see on my site is through Bluehost. They're my host, my site host. So that's for equama.com, that's for crowdfunddream.com, and a whole host of others. Because with Bluehost, what's really nice is you can purchase a primary domain and you can purchase unlimited subdomains. So my primary domain is equama.com, and then crowdfunddream.com is actually a subdomain. So that means I have a main public folder that has all my content, which is the equama.com, and there's a bunch of like subfolders in there for all my other sites. But I also have my EDT Films site that is hosted through Squarespace, hosted and designed through Squarespace. I'll tell you this. I was somebody who was seduced by the beauty of all of the Squarespace ads into creating a Squarespace website. I will tell you, from my opinion, it is not worth the extra money I'm paying for it just to have the one site. Largely because I don't do a lot of like selling or converting through my film website. It basically sits there. So it would have made a lot more sense for me to just keep it on Bluehost as opposed to purchasing a completely different package through Squarespace. So technically for my sites, I have Bluehost as a host, I have Squarespace as a host, and then I'm building several sites through Bluehost, and then I have just the one film site on Squarespace. But in my opinion, Squarespace wasn't worth it. They have some nice templates, but I feel like with WordPress, my site is built on WordPress through Bluehost. You can create anything, so I don't necessarily see what was the benefit of Squarespace. It actually ends up costing me a lot more having that one site. And with Squarespace, you don't get unlimited subdomains. So each domain that I purchase through Squarespace is its own primary domain. So the costs really multiply. With Bluehost, my primary domain costs a bunch, but the subdomains are much cheaper. I hope I'm not confusing you. So it's just Bluehost and Squarespace. That's for the web hosting, website creation, and maintenance. Then, of course, as I mentioned, I'm building everything on WordPress platform for my Bluehost site. So I use WordPress there. I also use something, another content creation platform called Elementor, which is used for WordPress sites. And there's a lot of different modules and blocks and templates and things like that with Elementor that are really beautiful. So I use WordPress and Elementor for my scheduling in general. And somebody who's watching this who's maybe further along in their journey in either work from anywhere or consulting or coaching or even courses, maybe like, you have a whole bunch of stuff going on. You need to streamline that. You are not wrong. So there are certain platforms that you have where you can do all in one, like everything that I'm describing. But because of the way that I set up my businesses kind of organically over time, my offers, I do have a lot of different platforms that I'm using. And I know in 2022, one of my goals is going to be to find something that's a better streamline for me. Yeah. So my scheduling is through Calendly. I can create different events and offers, in Calendly. And then just send people a link to it. I have the integration through Zoom. So I pay for my Calendly. There's a free version of Calendly that I have, the one that you pay for, so I integrate it with Zoom. So basically when they set up the appointment, it already creates a Zoom link and a calendar set, like a calendar event, and automatically populates my Google Calendar. And then I also attach, I think it's just PayPal, so it attaches PayPal, so they pay, it creates the Zoom link, it creates the calendar event, and then it's all in one, so that's how I do my scheduling. For conferencing, yes, in general, I do use Zoom. Occasionally, also Google Hangouts, but for me, primarily, it's Zoom. I have in here that I use MailChimp for my newsletter, and I also create landing pages on MailChimp. So I've sort of this year drifted away from MailChimp a bit. So my courses now are being hosted on a CRM, client relationship management. I think that's called Kartra. And so it's basically an all-in-one. You can host all the email addresses of all the people that you know. You can host your courses. You can send out emails. You can create landing pages. You can do sort of all of those things in one using Kartra. So where I used to have a bunch of email addresses in MailChimp, I tagged them for different things, like this person does my courses, this person does my consulting, et cetera. And then I would segment them that way and send out emails. Now I just put it in Kartra because it's a more robust CRM. It gives you a lot more behind the scenes info about how people are engaging with you and your business, when they joined, what they clicked on, what videos they watched that you sent them, what emails they opened, did they click on the emails? And so I've transitioned and put all of my emails now into Kartra. I will say that I'm not 100% happy with Kartra, so I'll probably be changing that. I don't know to what. I've been looking at Kajabi. Kajabi is very likely. But then people also use things like ClickFunnels, you know, which are sort of all-in-one as well. I think ClickFunnels is all-in-one as well. So Kartra is good because it has a lot of built-in templates for campaigns that you can do. Like if you said, I want people to come to my website, see a pop-up, download an ebook, or watch a, you know, or, you know, sign up to watch a free webinar on my site, and then I'll get their email address and start sending them emails and try to sell them on my product. You can go in Kartra and find a campaign that's already created. It'll even create a landing page for you, right? You have to edit like the text and the photos on the page so it applies to your business, but it's total packages. And you can just go through in their templates and you can pick out stuff that you like, and then it's like you hit the button and engage. It creates it all for you, and then you go through and edit all the different steps. So I like Kartra for that. And I'm sure there's other all-in-ones that have similar features where there's tons of templates that you can use, but that's what I'm doing right now. Then for my graphic design stuff, typically, so I can use Adobe Creative Suite. That's like your Adobe Photoshop and Illustrator, and I do a lot of stuff in Adobe Acrobat Pro, like where I'll edit PDFs to make them fillable for my workbooks and stuff like that. So you can actually just go into Adobe Acrobat Pro and you can actually do that. And you can create text fields, you can create check boxes, and anything you might need. But I find that for easy, quick, sharp looking design, Canva's just as well. And also, again, because Canva has tons of templates for different graphics you might create, from your social posts to your worksheets to little like explainer videos, Canva can get you there really, really quickly. So actually, I pay for my Canva account, which means I can upload my branding, which is my fonts, my color palettes, etc. My logos, and I can just have everything saved in the app so that I can quickly create whatever I need. I'm sort of concerned at times because I rely so much at Canva on Canva that if I ever decided I wanted to shift to something else, how would I export everything I've created over the past several years and start using it in something else? I don't even know. I can't wrap my mind around it. So I just stick with Canva. So it's primarily at Canva, and Adobe Creative Suite is what I use for design. When I send my batch emails, either now I'm going through Canva, I still do maintain a mailing list in MailChimp. It's sort of my general list for people who follow my film work. I send it out once or twice a year, like literally. So I maintain a list in there. But when I'm sending out batch emails, I use something called Mail Merge with Attachments. It's a Google Chrome extension where you can create form emails, and basically it'll be like dear name, comma, like personal front first line, hi, hi, it's been so long, you know, I hope everything's all right with you. Like, whenever I have to send personal emails to people and I have it to, it needs, it's hundreds of people, which often, which happens to me a lot, actually, where I have to send a message out to hundreds of people, but I want it to be personalized, and I'll use mail merge with attachments. For payment platforms in general, so this is, I'm looking at a list that I wrote, like, in early 2020, and things have even changed since then. So in general, I maintain business accounts on PayPal and Stripe. I have a personal account on Venmo, but not a business account on Venmo. So you could pay me any of those three ways. And they all integrate with like WordPress and all of the rest of it. So it works. And then I also use a plugin called WooCommerce for WordPress. And through WooCommerce, I can create different products and checkouts, etc. But because now all my products are hosted through Kartra, essentially what I'll do is I'll create the landing page on my website, which is hosted through my Bluehost, right? I'll just create it graphically, and then I integrate my Kartra checkout into that. So in general, most of the funds are coming through Kartra, and Kartra also has a PayPal and Stripe integration, so that's in general what I'm using. I wrote out IMDb. Yes, I do use the IMDb platform. I don't currently maintain a subscription, but from time to time I will. And what's nice is when you do that, you can update your data. You can add photos for all your films. You can add photos of behind the scenes from your shoots and things like that, and more personalize your account. For fiscal sponsorship, I still maintain fiscal sponsorship through Fractured Atlas. I had turned it off for a while during the pandemic, and then I reactivated it when I did my 35K campaign in March, and it's still active. You can actually, so the thing with it is when you have a fiscal sponsor, you basically have a dedicated page on their site, so I can be conducting a fundraising campaign year round, right? I have a site, it talks about what a page, it tells, talks about what I'm doing, it has a link to donate. And any donation made through that page on their site is tax deductible. So I do still maintain that. And then for networking in general, I'm on LinkedIn. I don't like LinkedIn that much for creatives, and I still feel that way. I would say that I do more of my networking on Facebook and Instagram, just in the DMs, just in the DMs. And I've been trying to get into Clubhouse, but I've been sort of slow about it. Consistency is super important. I went to a chat about that, like how to, I think it said how to find clients or something like that and customers on Clubhouse. And basically you have to be really consistent, be on there every day. And I haven't been doing that since I got on. I was also, I'm an Android, so I was sort of late to the party, and then I kind of never really got that much into it. But now I was formerly running Facebook ads. And there's just been a lot of turmoil with Facebook ads this year with the iOS updates, and more updates are coming. So I did stop running ads. As of like late October, I stopped running Facebook ads. So I basically get my leads through networking, engagement. I've purchased some ads in business newsletters, just alternative sources and organic sources. So really the best way long term is really optimizing for SEO on your website and optimizing for search traffic for the things that you offer. That's a great long term way to continue to have positive high flow of traffic through your site. So those are the ways that I'm working on my traffic now, as opposed to running Facebook ads. And just to be clear, the way that Facebook ads work best is that they amplify the positive work that you're already doing. So that means if you're already posting blog articles, using keywords that are key for your field or your clients or customers or fans, if you're an artist, right, then you're already getting traffic to your site, and then you're essentially retargeting that traffic that's already coming to your site through Facebook ads. Now, retargeting became much more difficult this year because of the iOS update, in which most iOS users, when asked, do you want to opt in or out to tracking and being able to follow your activity around the web, opted out. So that meant 55% of the audience that many of us as like small business owners were tracking, audience just fell out, right? Which means you're spending all this money in ads, and in many ways, even more money, because the Facebook algorithm can't even get the information that it used to have to work well. So you're spending more and more and more and more money for less and less results. So the large advertisers could handle it, but I know that there's a lot of mom and pops that have probably dropped out. A lot of solopreneurs like me that might have dropped out and are looking at alternative methods. And it's good for you to think about, like I have, the different channels that the people you want to reach are on. And figure and answer that question out and make sure that you're doing a good job of meeting them where they are. And then you add the Facebook ads as an accelerant to that. You may not even have to add that. Because you might find that after you do all of that work and thinking through all the channels, it's like, oh, they're all on LinkedIn in this specific marketing group. I'm going to just be in that group and making relationships. I'm not going to spend on ads. And some people do it that way too, you know. Last couple things here. I wrote Google Drive for storage. Yes, I'm on Google Drive. I'm also on Dropbox, but I basically stopped paying for Dropbox because I noticed that I had a lot of content on Google Drive, more and more and more of my content. I think just the nature of having Gmail, most of my stuff was being saved on Google Drive. And then I was creating documents and doing all these things that I wasn't doing on Dropbox. I know that to level up, you can now create documents, etc. on Dropbox, I believe. And I think you can also create Google Docs from Dropbox. But I just realized I wasn't using it that much, that all the like unique links and all the things that I was trying to do with it, I didn't necessarily need anymore. So I maintain whatever the minimum amount of storage is for a free account on Dropbox. And then basically all my content is on either Google Drive, or I'm uploading stuff to be downloaded on my website directly. And it's just on my website. Lastly, I wrote Airtable for a cloud collaboration service and or also known as a project management software. So yeah, I tried to use Airtable with some of my clients. And for the ones that are really into the details, sure, like a project management software for them to understand all the different pieces that go into getting a certain project completed is helpful. But if they're not that type of thinker, I found it wasn't that helpful. But I find to organize myself, Airtable is really great because I can create, basically they're like fancy spreadsheets where I can like tag a vendor or like tag a collaborator, put in a due date, upload a document, like all in one row, right? And they're just like different boxes in each row. And just, it's fancy. So I like Airtable. Another one I used with my web developer when she was creating my website was Asana. I think the company says Asana, but that's not how you say it. I think it's Sanskrit. In yoga, we say Asana. So that's what I say, but I hear a lot of people saying Asana. Anyway, call it whatever you like. It's also a project management software. It has a similar functionality to what I'm describing for Airtable. I think in general, that's what I'm on, and then just add Kartra to that. And Kartra really, I have to say, as much as the marketing agency was a hot mess this year, and they were, I mean, it was a waste of money. It was burning money in a trash can. They brought me no leads. What they did do was tell me about Kartra and help me move my stuff over there. Now, there was a major caveat, which I was supposed to be able to, if I stopped working with them, transfer my account to a self-owned account and just proceed with my life. But they set it up improperly so that I actually can't do a clean transfer. So I've still been paying them to maintain my Kartra page, just the bare minimum. Like I've been paying the Kartra fee through the agency, but technically my account is still owned by the agency. These are all things that, it was a question that I asked, trust me, when I interviewed them and designed with them, but I was either given the wrong information or they just went about it in the wrong way. And I didn't realize it until I was trying to like fire them. So I was glad they introduced me to Kartra because it was a much better streamlined process for managing a whole set of different activities that I need for my business now. So it's my emails, it's my contacts, it's my courses, it's my videos. I can track how many minutes people are watching. I can send them abandoned cart emails, like if they start buying something and then they don't complete the purchase. It just manages all of that stuff and makes my life easier. I can create landing pages, like everything that I've talked about in that one platform. But I think Kartra has some I feel like it doesn't work the best in terms of, I don't like a lot of the design functionality. I think could be better. I've heard they're not strong on Black Lives Matter. Like in my group, another woman who was on Kartra said she left because they didn't have a stance on Black Lives Matter or they didn't publicly support it. Their customer service is awful. Like I will just say awful. They had like a global outage a couple, like 2 days in a row. And they had not updated their Twitter at all. I posted tons of tweets. I was like, am I the only one in the world posting tweets about Kartra? And they hadn't responded at all. They didn't respond directly to my tweets at all. It was only when I sent an email to the customer service that someone finally responded with an apology. I was like, an apology? How about you just tell me, how do you let your customers know what is going on with your business? Like, is this a joke to you? You know, like, people are making money, they're teaching courses, you're severely impacting people's ability to conduct business and you're treating it like it's not real. So I have tons of issues with them and I'll probably be shifting this year. Again, I've done some research on Kajabi. There's others like Thinkific, Teachable, people have heard of a lot. But yeah, I'll be looking more for like an all-in-one that has better design ability. And also when you're making emails, there's just issues. I don't even want to get into all the issues Kartra has, but for right now, in terms of the enhanced information that I get about my customers, it's been great. And it's helped me really level up this year because literally I fired the agency and then I had to do it myself. But luckily I have a background in marketing, so it wasn't that hard to figure out. And I think it's fairly user-friendly. So I would say Kartra is a good bet. MailChimp is actually trying to become more like a Kartra where you can create landing pages, you can create customer journeys, you can tag people and the rest of it. But my opinion was just the way, even the interface of engaging in MailChimp as a CRM was always confusing to me, the way I'm supposed to click around and do things, because I just don't think it was really created for that. I think they were recently sold to Intuit, I think. And I think they're trying to level things up, and I applaud that. But I think, for me, it still functions best as a regular newsletter platform, you know, like, or mailing list platform. And so all of the sort of higher functionalities that they're trying to bring to the platform, I'm just not as into it, you know. It's, yeah. But I'm glad that they're trying. I don't think there's anything else to say. I think in general, and in terms of social media platforms for my business, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm now on TikTok. I think TikTok has a lot going on for business. And I think if you're really interested in that, there's a woman called Kenya Kelly that I follow. I believe it's Kenya Kelly. And she talks a lot about TikTok for business. Yeah, and then in general, it's just starting conversations with people that yield sales, and a lot of that has to do with the DMs, okay? And then being in networking communities where your potential clients, customers, fans, and patrons are, and talking and sharing your stuff. And of course, always just continuing to create, you know, like me with this podcast, or like sharing my writing, how I used to on my blog, and some of the projects that I hope will be coming out this year. Yeah, so that's about it. Oh, and I forgot to say, platforms I'm on. So yes, you can find my podcast on I'm Apple Podcasts. You can also find it on, I think it's called Google Podcasts. I think it's called Google Podcasts. Just Google Creative IQ and you'll see everywhere that it is, or you can go to my website and you'll see where it is. Okay, so that was just a little bit about me. I was trying to do my part two, the platforms that I use to run my business. Hit me up if you have any questions. Again, it's the 1 year anniversary of my website redesign and relaunch. It's the 3 year anniversary of my business in general. I have a workshop coming up this weekend, so please, please, please do stay tuned. I want you to be a part of this members-only community. I want you to level up in 2022. I cannot wait. Again, my name is Equa. I help people tell their stories, market themselves, and raise money. I also make films, dance, write, do all of the things. I'm so grateful that you shared this time with me. And until next time, keep it creative.